are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your host, David Pruse. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanks and pioneer local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday's all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I will try to get to your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, today's a Friday. And boy, are we going to start introducing this planet, this world, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, because I have in the studio with me Eric Nichols and Kevin Tennant, and they're producing a movie. Now, Fairbanks, I'm going to read you a few things here, and then Kevin and Eric and I will engage in discussion, but I'm going to sort of explain this to you. It's through Steel Stone Hinge is a science-based dramatic film in Fairbanks that they're producing. Now, here we go. The synopsis of Steel Stone Hinge, the movie. It is the year 1987. A vast and bizarre circular array of steel towers sprouts rudely in the midst of interior Alaska wilderness in a stark defiance of all that's holy. Only a select few in the world's scientific community have any idea what the sinister-looking structure is for. Alice Margreth, A.M., Leander, is one of those select few, and it's her best of her knowledge. Against her initial visceral response upon coming on board the project, A.M. is finally able to overlook the array's disturbing resemblance to the ancient Stonehenge, but with a scary space-age twist. And with that, the research on hand, she learns that the intent of the array is actually quite benign. It is used to direct powerful radio waves skyward to explore the aurora borealis and related phenomena. Some new developments, however, threaten to renew her uneasy truce with the apparatus. The evil Dr. Leroy Wu, an enigmatic project manager, has proposed a disturbing modification to the array. Two of AM's more down-to-earth colleagues, William Tell, St. John, and Al Webb, are able to piece together the scant morsels of information Dr. Wu has released and come to a frightening conclusion. Dr. Wu intends to redirect the immensely powerful radio signals downward as to convert the Earth into a giant particular detector. The subject of the experiment is to trap the elusive magnetic monopole, referred to in hushed tones in physics as the God particle. AM by this time has acquired the status of a moral compass of the probe. As long as she was around, nobody worried too much about the technology being used for some nefarious purpose, if such a thing were possible, which is highly unlikely. However, with the latest development, AM has something entirely new to worry about. It isn't about doom and destruction or espionage or terrorism, at least in the normal sense. The question is whether the knowledge of the God particle itself is the moral equivalent of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Could it be that they are about to cross over that line that will bring down the wrath of God? How would they know that fact before? AM is somewhat morbidly gratified that some of her colleagues are beginning to ask the same questions. She proceeds cautiously, fully expecting a lightning bolt to emerge from the sky at any time and fry them all. Ironically, AM requires numerous insights in which happen to be a precise solution to some of the insurmountable technical obstacles that the staff of scientists have encountered. She begins to question whether she, herself, is the embodiment of evil. After nearly 3 years of preparation, the experiment is ready. Everyone present realizes the immensity of the moment. If the experiment succeeds, they could all acquire instant fame and fortune, or they could all burn in hell. Gentlemen, is that about it?
That's about it.
So, you know, Fairbanks, it was interesting. I got some background here on Eric. Oh, boy. Tell us about HARP.
Well, what about HARP?
You worked there?
I did work there.
And then you wrote a book.
I wrote a book. Actually, I have to go back a little bit before that. The predecessor to HARP was a place called High Pass Observatory, which is actually operated by UCLA. And that was out on Chino Hot Springs Road, about halfway out to Chino Hot Springs.
Yeah.
And so that was a predecessor for HARP. We showed HARP how to do it first.
Ah.
And then, so I was on the initial environmental impact statement for the HARP facility. That was originally going to be an over-the-horizon radar, you know, and then all peace broke out all over the world, so we didn't need that sort of thing.
Darn.
But anyway, the site there ended up being the facility for HARP. So I was there on the very ground floor.
So you have the scientific technical detail on how to write the script for this.
I do.
And Kevin, you are the technical advisor to him because you're the one who's already telling me stuff that, you know, scientifically speaking, this is what it is and this is how you do it.
Oh, scientifically, no, I don't advise him on anything.
You're the smartest man in this room.
I don't advise him on anything scientific. I just shoot some video, do the editing, and, just enjoy being around this kind of environment.
So you're looking for some players in this?
We are looking for some players, and we are also looking for some basic prop stuff. I actually have my wish list here.
That's what we're here for. You're shooting a movie based in the late 80s.
Yes.
This is based in the late 80s, right. And you need Fairbanks to help.
We need Fairbanks to help, and we want this to be a community project. This will put Fairbanks on the map, I think.
Before you start going through your list, how do they get in touch with you, Eric?
They can just call me at area code 907-371-7120.
And is there a website that they can go to?
Yes, there is. There is actually, we have a Facebook page, and it's just called Steel Stonehenge Film Production.
Okay.
And that's kind of our watering hole for all the personnel that are involved with this.
Okay. Go ahead with your
Well,
want
let's see. I have, props and scene wish list. We're looking for various coffee shops around town because this is a very highly dialogue-intensive movie. Obviously, we don't have the funds to do the big CGI stuff like the big boys. This is going to be an independent movie, but I'll tell you what, Kevin is amazing at making a silk purse out of a sow's ear. I mean, his ability to just make cameras work come alive is just phenomenal. So I think we can compare with the big boys in terms of artistic.
They got nothing on you. Lucasfilms, you're second rate.
But one thing about it, even though we don't have any money, we do have absolute artistic control. And that's
no one gets to tell you what to do.
That's right.
So how did? Okay, go ahead with your list of items.
Okay, so we're looking for people who want to give us some shop space, or basically shooting space, coffee shops, anybody coffee shop. And by the way, if you want to do your product placement, if this movie goes big.
You better be giving Tom Bartel a call.
That's right. That's
North
right.
Pole Coffee.
Look for diners, large science-y control rooms, like power plant, old TV control rooms.
Give the Gavors a call, see if you can get the diner itself.
That's right. College chemistry lab.
So, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Okay, I'm going to be checking with the guys.
Eric, that's on your side of the equation.
We need a pre-1987 station wagon that actually runs. An old Woody would be great. This is going to actually be one of the main characters because so much of the dialogue happens during this old decrepit station wagon. So,
why? Of course, the destruction of the world. Right. You discuss it in an old, decrepit station wagon in Fairbanks, Alaska.
That's right.
I'm not going to ask if they burn in hell or if they're incredible, but you have to watch the movie to see it.
That's right. So no spoilers here yet.
Yeah.
Okay. We need old film clips of Poker Flat. There's a lot of stuff done there back.
Yeah, give Kathy Rich a call up there.
Right. Another friend is working there. Perhaps Gilmore Creek.
Yeah.
HARP. And if anybody, High Pass has been destroyed, it no longer exists. But if anybody was ever there and photographing anything during that time, that would be great. So any archival footage of High Pass would be wonderful.
I wonder if going up to the university.
I think so. And same with Geophysical Institute I did mention. Any old old log cabins close to town? There's a couple of conversational
sites. Oh, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's easy. That's easy. Yeah,
we know they're there. So, but we have to make this right up front. There's no money here yet. So
you're
going to volunteer your log cabin.
You're not renting anything.
We aren't renting anything yet.
Yeah.
No, I haven't talked about money yet, so I think we're going to do a crowdfunding thing eventually, but we have to at least put a trailer together so people know what they're funding in the first place.
Very true.
So any pre-1987 semi-vintage cars, we want to kind of, make some small section of Fairbanks look kind of older. Not that that's hard to do.
Yeah, a second Avenue scene.
Right. But yeah, pre-1987 footage of Fairbanks International Airport. And
when the Pope.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, there should be some photos.
And any listener suggestions? Is there something that you say, hey, I want my property or something to be in this movie?
You should give Jay Ramos a call about Pike's Landing.
That
really hasn't changed. The bar area has not changed since, my dad bought it in 76, 77. It's the same bar, same windows. You might have to get rid of the pop-up tent blue screen that out.
Right.
But you got Kevin Tennant with you that can knock that out.
That's right. That flat screen TV.
Yeah.
Well, we learned a whole lot about during just our first run through of how to do stuff in really small chunks and put it all together later, And also we have some cross-country collaboration. Most of the music is going to be done by my friends, the Long Island Musical Mafia. So I have a bunch of friends in New York that are putting together some music for this, and I've worked with them before. But
so let me get this straight: you're using Long Island Musical Mafia along with the scientific research of Fairbanks, and you were at HARP.
That's right.
connect those bones, Fairbanks. Fairbanks, we're going to be back in a minute. We're going to take a commercial break. We're at 458 Talk 458-8255. I have Eric Nichols and Kevin Tennant in the studio here, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Total Toyo would like to say happy holidays and to remind you to put your feet up, have a well-deserved rest this Christmas, and let every day of the season be filled with joy and warmth. Happy holidays from Total Toyo.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from all of us here at the radio station, your local family of radio stations. It's been our pleasure to entertain you and comfort you during these trying times, and we look forward to continuing that effort moving into 2022. Happy holidays.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. But more specifically, let it snow 3 or more inches on Christmas Eve, and Renewal by Andersen will give you free replacement windows. This is Chris Dunn, the local owner, and with this year's wet winter forecast, we expect to give away a lot of free windows. Make your appointment and purchase before December 16th. And if it snows 3 or more inches on Christmas Eve in Anchorage, all the windows you purchased will be free. But if we don't get snow, you'll still save $379 on windows and save $579 on patio doors. And with our Smart Pay programs, don't pay anything for a year. With Renewal by Andersen, get your windows for free if it snows on Christmas Eve. Make your appointment and purchase before December 16th. Call Renewal by Andersen, 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100. Visit snowywindows.com for terms and details.
Weather brought to you by the Great Harvest Bread Company, your local bakery cafe, in the Bentley Mall Annex on College Road. Stop by for breakfast or lunch today.
KFAR weather.
Clear skies and quiet today with highs around 28 below. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 36 below. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Chance for snow. Highs around 17 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently is 38 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Did I hear that right? It is currently minus 38 below zero?
Yes. I don't think so, because when I was driving in, it had warmed up. It was 36 below in North Pole, but when I got in here, my car thermometer said it was about 26 below.
So. Well, I forgot my hat, and my bald head didn't tell me it was 38 below.
Yeah. You know, I'm checking my Google Fairbanks, and it says here it's minus 26 below. But, you know, hey, I'm tough stud Dave. It's minus 38 below. We're wearing through this.
Well, yeah, right. I always use a convert to Kelvin. That way.
Oh, my God. Fairbanks, help me. I'm in here with a scientist. This is going to be entertaining for you. So how did you how long have you been working on this project?
I wrote Steel Stonehenge in 1987 while I was working at High Pass. And I could never get the thing published. Well, in 2004, I got the sequel to it published, which is called Plasma Dreams.
Ooh, so there's the end of the world didn't happen.
The end of the world didn't happen. So
okay.
Plasma Dreams is actually the sequel. But we're actually consolidating both Steel Stonehenge and Plasma Dreams in the movie. And we're going to be doing a lot of flashbacks from Plasma Dreams, which takes place about 10 years after. And referring back to Steel Stonehenge.
Eric, you're quite cerebral. Quite cerebral.
I like to think I'm I'm artistic as well, but
that's why
I need this guy.
Yeah. So, you started this. It's based on the year when you started writing the book.
That's right.
Okay, and it was on the shelf, and then you wrote a sequel. And that got
published.
Yeah. So now it's time to fill in the blanks on why the sequel was there.
Well, I think there was enough material to make it happen.
Okay.
And
you did this while you were working at a pseudo-scientific research station that may or may not have been in contact with unique orbiting items.
Well, you know, there had been so much conspiratorial stuff.
I know, that's why I bring it. So much fun.
And what I wanted to do with this...
Even back then, there was a lot of conspiracy.
And so there's very little science fiction out there that really portrays basic research reliably and sincerely.
Do you need any character actors?
Yes, we do. We do.
Okay.
We have most of our main guys we have, but we are looking for gentleman, Glacier Man. Okay. Dick Glacier Man Pelzer. And he's in a
pudgy, that sounds like 1987.
He's a pudgy, insufferable bureaucrat. And has the official title of Operations Expediter, who does everything but expedite the operation. So he's the main antagonist in the movie. So we don't have a Glacier Man yet.
Okay.
Professor Abraham Steinmetz, he's probably going to be, we have our East Coast folks are probably going to do this scene here. We're looking for Professor Abraham Steinmetz. There's two scenes that take place in Connecticut. And I've been working with my East Coast gangsters to get this. And then, let's see. And then we need a Hugh Walsh, who's only makes a kind of a cameo appearance here, but he's an old broadcast engineer. So part of the story
here. You better see if Glenner's available.
Yeah, I've thought of Glenner. Glenner's on board this project, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's where I got the email from.
And then Zoot Zaragoza, we're looking for a Mexican-American diesel mechanic. So he's. I'll have to tell you something about the enigmatic Dr. Wu.
Oh, yes, please do.
He only speaks in indecipherable parables.
Now, Fairbanks, if you understand what an indecipherable parable is, text me. Explain it to me. So
he uses analogies to explain all the science. He never actually gets around to saying what he actually is. Well, Zoot Zaragoza is the only guy who actually understands his ramblings.
Ah.
So he translates.
And this is a Hispanic diesel mechanic.
Yeah. So if you're Hispanic and you're a diesel mechanic, or
have we got a job for you?
So we've got a job for
you'll
you.
Be
so,
the,
so, so you need,
other than Dr. Wu, you'll be the. Who's playing AM?
That is Sudsy Mountainflower. And she's an old friend of mine in Fairbanks.
Sudsy Mountainflower.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a character. Isn't she a character?
Oh, yeah.
So, and who's playing the evil Dr. Wu?
Well, I'll keep that a secret here.
Okay.
This is something that's straight, and we'll know more about this tomorrow.
This is great, yeah.
But anyway, these four people we need. We need a Glacier Man, we need Professor Steinmetz, we need a Hugh Walsh, and we need a Zoot.
Zoot?
Zoot.
Zoot.
He wears it. He's started out wearing Zoot suits, but he... Moving beyond that point.
You know, was there any narcotics involved in when you wrote this?
It was the 80s.
Lots of caffeine.
That's what I would have said, too. Of course, this is a family show. Lots of caffeine.
I even wrote a poem about coffee.
Oh, okay.
Very good one, actually.
So how long did you work out at the Hypus?
I worked, on and off several times when we were building it, before they were on full time. So my first run out there was in 87 when they were still building it. And that's when everything gear started cranking. Then we did several long campaigns up to starting about 1994. I started working there full time for about 3 years. So I was on and off during the building project and actually doing collaborative experiments. And that's when I got involved with HARP as well, because we did a lot of collaboration between High Pass and HARP.
Yeah.
With their experiments.
Yeah, my parents had a place at like 26.8 Mile Chino Hot Springs Road.
Yeah.
This was right down, and in. My parents were on the river.
Well, it was right past Tax General Store.
Yeah.
And that's where we always had our brainstorming sessions.
And the pie.
And that actually, in the book, it's actually featured quite heavily in there.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's too bad that it
burned to the ground.
Fire.
Yeah.
That was a neat place.
Yeah,
that was an absolutely neat place.
Yeah. So a lot of the dialogue took place at Tax.
The evil Dr. Wu.
Well, he's enigmatic.
Okay. Let's go back. What was your favorite pie from Tax?
Oh, coconut cream.
Mine was the chocolate peanut butter.
Oh, okay.
The best of both worlds is what I called it.
So whenever I had friends up here, we always took a little journey out to there.
Yeah.
That was the center of the universe there.
When do you start going into production on this, or when do you want to?
Well, we're already started.
Ah!
Tomorrow we're going to have another practice session. We're going to try out a couple of new actors. And so it's going to be a long-term project. But none of us have any delusions of how hard this is going to be. We 15 years ago, we did a trailer for Plasma Dreams, and several things happened. Well, number one, we were starting to film it at High Pass. Well, they demolished High Pass, so that kind of put a kink in that production. And then Peggy Madej, she was the real push behind that. She moved out of state, and she was able to get us some time on an airliner, an Embraer at Everett, So she was a real go-getter. And so we actually filmed this great trailer inside this plane. So that's not going to be available
around. Here's a thought for you, Kevin. The Chattanooga FE camp.
F&E Gold Camp.
Yeah. That'd be a great location.
That place hasn't changed in probably 100 years.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
A little bit of a, I'm sure you could doll it up and make it work.
And again, we are open to any and all suggestions.
Yeah.
So this is your opportunity to be...
A contributor.
And so I say we make no promises, and by golly, we deliver.
He promised me no pay, and he's delivered on that.
First of all, thank you for the endeavor. This sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, and it's a lot of work, but it's not work.
It's
fun.
Absolutely right.
And
is there a guesstimated time frame of completion?
I would say in about a year.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long of a movie will it be?
It's going to be feature. It's going to be
100 minutes plus or minus.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff to get in the can there, Kevin Tennant.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
Might even give me a reason to buy a newer computer and some more cameras.
Well, 15 years ago, we did this trailer there. It was really an education, It says, man, we knew we bit off more than we could chew even thinking about it. But then we got at the trailer and I said, by golly, this is doable,
Yeah.
And, that was with 15-year-old older technology. Now, stuff that Kevin's doing is just amazing, and... and keeping things in small chunks, you know, because we don't have any professional actors, so, you know, they aren't really.
You don't have to pay them, yeah.
Well, but not only that, but, you know, memorizing long dialogues is really hard. I mean, So Kevin was really good at getting us down into really bite-sized chunks that anybody could do this. So that's the way we can invite anybody who's actors or not. Hey, you know, if you could remember a line here, we can use it, you know. And so the editing is going to be the tough part.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to hear Fox News, state news, some weather. Maybe the weather will be accurate, but if not, it's 38 below out there. Some commercials, and we'll be back in a bit.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The parents of the 15-year-old who shot and killed four students at his Michigan high school are also in legal trouble.
Oakland County Prosecutor Karen McDonald making an example out of James and Jennifer Crumbly, parents who are accused of supplying their 15-year-old son with a handgun used in this week's deadly Oxford High School attack. Each charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter, their son charged as an adult in the shooting deaths of four fellow students and the injury of seven others. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
And as new COVID variants continue to emerge, pharmaceutical companies are considering annual COVID-19 boosters, similar to how flu vaccines are given out every year.
In general, it could fall under the same situation as we do with a strain change for influenza.
Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Matt Zuburo is suing the Alaska Redistricting Board over recently drawn legislative boundaries that it says dilutes the votes of borough residents. Attorney Stacy Stone is representing the borough and its manager, Michael Brown, in the case. She says the lawsuit was filed on Thursday and the case did not immediately show up on the court's online record system. The board finalized its maps November 10th, triggering a period in which challenges could be filed. The board's executive director says the board will review any legal challenges with its legal counsel and respond through the court system. A Fairbanks man convicted of second-degree murder was sentenced to serve 40 years behind bars on Wednesday for the death of a 24-year-old father, according to the Fairbanks Daily Newsminer. In June, writer Alan Smith was found guilty of second-degree murder in the 2019 death of Peter Horace Wright after a bench trial before Fairbanks Superior Court Judge Brent Bennett. Assistant District Attorney Katie Mason requested Judge Bennett impose a sentence of 70 years, with 20 years suspended and 10 years of probation for the killing. Judge Bennett imposed a 60-year sentence with 20 years suspended and 10 years probation upon
streaming
release.
Live online at KFAR660.com.
Man, you know who really sucks? North Star Honey Wagon. They suck. Your septic system clean. Think you gotta wait till summer? Well, think again. North Star Honey Wagon's big, cool, state-of-the-art truck can have your system clean and running as it should in no time, no matter what time of year. And they do emergency call-outs as well. That's North Star Honey Wagon, with the best rates in town. And yes, they really suck. Your septic system clean. From Fairbanks to Salcha and all points in between. Online at NorthStarHoneyWagon.com.
Fall and winter in Alaska bring new sporting opportunities. Grouse, ptarmigan, and other small game hunting. Snowshoeing and winter camping. Predator calling and trapping. Gear up with Frontier Outfitters and prepare to succeed. Traps, snares, and calls. Guns and ammunition. Stay warm and dry with the right clothing. Rest easy with tents, sleeping bags, and camp necessities. ATV and snow machine accessories are just downstairs at Century Hardware. Alaska is new every season. And for every season, there's Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Feliz Navidad! This is Jose Martinez from the Fur Factory. It's the Christmas season, which means we're also in the middle of an Alaskan winter. Come into my family store to find that special gift to keep you warm during these winter months. You'll find hats starting at $149. You'll also find a wide selection of earmuffs, slippers, mittens, mukluks, and much more. Located at 547 2nd Avenue, open Monday through Saturday. Call 452-6240. The Fur Factory, serving Alaskans for over 40 years.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. Fairbanks, David Pruse in the studio here with Eric Nichols and Kevin Tenen. We're talking about the flick they are going to produce, Steel Stonehenge. And it's based in 1987, Fairbanks. evil people, good people, unique people, all Fairbanks people. But Fairbanks, they need some help. They need some props of the period. And Eric, how do they get in touch with you?
Call me at area code 907-371-7120.
And your Facebook site?
It is Steel Stonehenge Film Production.
On Facebook?
On Facebook.
So, you know, let's go down memory row and figure out what you know, those things that 1987 were prolific. Large copying machines. Do you have any of those?
No, we actually, I know a lot of people have them in their dumps. But, yeah, old computer monitors, probably the most visible thing we have. We were looking a long time to get a drafting table. We now have a drafting table. So,
so much for CAD.
Actually, the film we've seen is actually the central central part of the movie where the actual conflict of the movie is developed, and it's around a drafting table. I think we found a pretty cool drafting table.
I like that, the central conflict of the movie.
Every movie has to have conflict.
That's right.
And this is where the central conflict happens.
That's right.
Oh.
And that is where A.M. Leander and Tel St. John get together, and she expresses her concerns about this to him. And she did an amazing job in that. Don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Is it something you've already shot?
We shot first pass.
Test footage.
But
yeah.
You know, this reading this, you've put in a lot of thought on this. I mean, you really have.
Yeah,
and with your background, what you've done, and some of the thoughts that people have, you know, about evil technology and conspiracy, you know, you're front row center on this, man. You're the perfect writer. This is great.
Well, appreciate that. Well, it didn't come overnight. No, I've been working on this for a long time. You know, but fortunately, I was around some very interesting characters being in Fairbanks. I mean, we have the most interesting clientele on the planet.
If you're a scientist and you're coming to Fairbanks, Alaska, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, even now, you're unique. You're fantastic. You are unique.
That's right. And you know, Fairbanks with the Geophysical Institute, we were the center of the planet in terms of scientific research. Now, I think Geophysical Institute has kind of lost their focus since Akasofu retired. You know, it's just, you know, he was a real giant. And, you know, it started out during the International Geophysical Year of 1957. That's when the Geophysical Institute really
took off.
And there was a lot of ionospheric science that happened then. That was really kicked it off. So 1957 was a kind of a great year for science and great year for cars.
The 57 Chevy.
That's right.
The Corvette.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure there's a Ferrari out there, too. Yeah. So you're needing people. You're needing locations. You're needing backdrops. You're needing items in a scene. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so if you and again, if you're out there and you would think you've got the coolest cabin on the planet and you wanted this to be featured here, product placement. You know?
maybe somebody's still got a bag phone we could use.
I'd be giving Pepsi Cola a call or Coca Cola.
Well, bag phone is it, you read the part where you do have a bag phone on
scene there. Oh my goodness! You know, okay, let's see what else. You know, Mark Air, you know, you got one of those planes running around here?
Sure.
Or a Ween plane?
Yep.
Even pictures.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Even pictures, because, you know, with the matting and the stuff that used to be a real lot of work to do. I mean, this guy can throw that together and make it look like a live scene, just, you know, so. Like, this guy can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, so I'm glad I met him.
You know, the pump house, Pike's Landing. Mm-hmm. Those locations would be available. I'd give Derek Miller, see if Tommy's building is there. You know, the old elbow room, you know, things like that.
Everett's Air is still flying the same planes today they were back then.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've had Robin here a few times.
Yeah.
And, you know, what the heck? So it's interesting thinking back in 1987 and the cars you need, El Caminos.
Right.
You know, pickup trucks, Cadillacs, you know, those big vehicles.
Well, you had to be big because you had to unfold that map because we didn't have GPS.
Yeah. That's right, we didn't. So, and don't pull out a cell phone. Plug the bag phone,
right? Yeah.
And have that pop-up phone list thing.
Right.
Remember those?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pay phones.
Yeah, go find one.
Pull over. I need to make a phone call.
Yeah. That's something else.
I was looking for a particular passage here I thought would be kind of... okay. Now, I mentioned that we consolidated two books in this. Later on, there's a very interesting character. Her name is Vengeance Toy. She's a blind CIA agent.
Oh, yes.
And,
what's her name? Vengeance?
Vengeance Toy. And she goes by Venny. And so
again, were the narcotics good in 1987 making up this stuff and working out at hypos, you know?
Well, okay. Well, she's an interesting character. She'd spent time at a re-education camp in China because she made a suggestion to a government official, and we can imagine what the suggestion might have been. But anyway, she's finally come out of
she's
hiding. And this is actually in the later part of the movie. And tomorrow we're going to have our person that's going to be playing Vengeance do a reading. But anyway, this I think tells a little bit about the character.
Okay.
And this is right from the script here. Venny rolls out of her hammock with a groan and shuffles across the threadbare carpet toward the bathroom. Checks herself in the mirror and gasps. She discovers she's wearing a dark lavender flake satin blouse complemented by chartreuse bell-bottom pants festooned with whimsical yellow daisies. To add insult to injury, she realizes she's perfectly sober. She walks into the kitchen as her head clears and remembers she wants to call Lisa, whom she hasn't talked to in over a year. She dials Lisa from the kitchen phone. As always, Lisa answers on the second ring. Now, Lisa is Lisa Tang. She's a second most important character in Steel Stonehenge. So this is several
after
years.
After AM, okay.
Yeah, okay. So she has Lisa answers telephone on a second ring. Hello? Hi, Lisa. This is Vengeance Toy. Venny, is that really you? No, I just thought I'd call someone at random and tell them my name is Vengeance Toy. Venny, it is you. Where are you? How have you been? Same place, different day. Oh, well, I haven't heard from you in ages. Are you in any kind of trouble? Lisa, why do you assume that just because I call you, there has to be trouble? Ahem. Okay, Lisa, you got me there. Well, I'll be honest, I am in a little bit of a predicament. I need to look for a job. I thought you had a job. I do, but I have to pretend I'm looking for a job. I could tell you, but then I'd have to. I don't even want to know. Eesh, why can't any of my friends have normal lives? It's your destiny, Lisa. Now listen, I need to look like, less like a bag lady, perhaps. You should be in the diplomatic corps, but yes, I think you have the picture. Say no more. Whew, I thought you'd want me to do something like you usually want me to do. Lisa, you cut me to the quick. Would I ever put your pointy little butt in harm's way? Lisa. Ahem.
In a heartbeat.
Well, you can relax this time. Your role is strictly as a fashion consultant. Oh, okay. Well, you're in luck. I have today off. We'll run into town and fix you up right away. We'll have you looking like a real spy instead of a bag lady spy in no time. No can do. I need to stay in the house. I can't be seen in public for a while. Venny, how can we go get you new clothes if we don't go to where the clothes are? You'll figure it out, short stuff. Yeah, I suppose so. Eesh. Drop by here on your way out, and I'll give you a big wad of unmarked bills. Don't worry about that. Consider this my gift of gratitude for not putting my pointy little butt in harm's way. Thanks. You're a perfect porcelain doll. If you weren't so scrawny, I'd jump your bones. So anyway, that's Venny. And,
heavy dialogue. Yeah. Lots and lots of heavy dialogue. Back and forth. Since you don't have the special effects, Eric mentioned the old Twilight Zones and mm-hmm. how popular they are today, even though they have no special effects. But they have the science behind them and the awesome dialogue. So that's what we're shooting for.
Now, your background. How many different books and movies have you written? Well, because you got a perfect background for science fiction.
This is it. I mean, this is it. When I well, 15 years ago when we did Plasma Dreams, that was going to be it, you know. But then we said, well, we put so much effort into this, let's expand it and include both Steel Stonehenge and Plasma Dreams, because that's they really belong together. And so that's about probably 30 years, close to 30 years in the making. So at least not in, you know, at least
you're
ruminating on it.
You're very inspiring.
Oh, appreciate
with your
that.
Tenacity on an endeavor,
yeah.
Really. And this sounds like a lot of fun for everyone.
It is. And, you know, like I say, we can't promise anything except that you'll have a lot of fun doing this. And
Okay. Let's say that this all it will come to fruition and it all happens. Where are you going to have your first screening at?
Well, this is an interesting thing. We're looking at... you know, there's so many other venues and you know, online venues and that sort
yeah.
of thing. So you're looking at, like, the movie The Chosen, you know, that was all done online and crowdfunded and that sort of thing, and that's been a great success. We're still working on that, so I think that's down the road before you even have to think about that. We have to have a product to sell before we try to sell it. But it sucks. I would, you know, try just filming it locally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Start where created, you know.
Okay.
Dance with who you brung, you know.
Dance with the wolves.
Yeah.
not that we're trying to make a living with this by any stretch, but if you look at the popularity of movies and shows that are blossoming on YouTube,
yeah.
people are quitting their jobs because they started a video blog, and now it's gotten so big that they are literally making a living with that. So the opportunities for what used to take a whole studio to do, I can now do with a laptop. So the opportunities are limitless
yeah.
with the modern technology.
Exactly. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. But before we go, Eric is going to tell us how to get in touch with him again.
My number is 907-371-7120.
And your Facebook location?
The Facebook is Steel Stonehenge Film Production.
We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hoffer Glass would like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'd like to thank you for your continued support throughout the years. We're your local, year-round, full-service glass, window, and door provider. We look forward to helping you with your projects. Happy holidays from your friends at Hoffer Glass.
The holidays are a special time here in Fairbanks, and all of us here at Last Frontier Media Active hope you get to celebrate the season with family and friends. Thanks for sharing your days and nights with us and our family of local radio stations. Wishing you happy holidays and a prosperous new year.
Urgent care, Lydia?
That's right. It's just another reason to go to Stees Immediate Care.
I didn't even know they did that.
Stees Immediate Care can help with everything from sore throats to stitches to broken bones.
What about broken hearts?
Austin, don't worry. From the initial diagnosis to the last follow-up, Stees Immediate Care will make sure you can return to your regular activities.
Like me taking you on a Hawaiian vacation?
Austin, that's not a regular activity.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Clear skies and quiet today with highs around 28 below. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 36 below. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun tomorrow. Chance for snow. Highs around 17 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 38 degrees below zero.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Eric Nichols and Kevin Tennant. They are producing a movie, Steel Stonehenge. If you have a question or a thought or a contribution, we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. Now, you've been in the technical array business since day one you got up here. You were at KJNP for 25 years as a chief engineer.
Right.
You worked at KTVF second floor Northrop building.
Yep. Well, I come by legitimately. My dad was a helicopter pioneer. He worked for Stan Hiller directly, and he was okay. next to Sikorsky. He was the number one helicopter guy in plant. I remember him saying that you know, there's going to be helicopter in every garage by 1960. Well, it didn't quite work out that way, but there's some great found footage of Stan Hiller flying this tip jet rotor, basically a couple of rockets on the end of the helicopter rotor and flying this thing around. It's like 57 or something like that. So anyway, my dad worked for Stan almost from the beginning of that. So I come from a long line of engineers. My brother was worked in the space shuttle at Rockwell on the ground.
What brought you to Fairbanks, Alaska?
They got out of California.
No, Fairbanks, he is the smartest man in the room.
I read a lot of stuff on, Robert Service and, mm-hmm.
You got
Jack
hooked.
London.
You got hooked.
Yeah, I got hooked. So that was 1976. So I've been here 40.
You got up here in the middle of a construction of a pipeline.
That's right.
When everything was going nuts.
That's right. And I was working at KTVF at the time, so I met every politician on the planet. It's amazing. I mean, you just realize that, you look at it at the time, it didn't seem that impressive. But you
let's
look
see,
like now.
Egan and Hammond came through. Stevens,
yeah.
Young.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's see. The mayor at the time was Wee Willie Wally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and what's really interesting,
the borough mayor was Carlson, yeah. Yeah,
in California, nobody ever meets an actual politician down there. But here, it's just, they're just all real people, And that's an amazing time.
Good for you. Kevin, when did you get up here?
1986.
Before 1987.
Just before, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't come by choice, though. The Air Force told me I was coming here.
you were voluntold.
Yeah, I was voluntold. And then I stayed.
You stayed by
Never
choice.
Never left.
Yeah.
Yep.
You came by choice and stayed by choice.
Yep.
Oh, boy. So you're putting together this movie. What inspired you to write it?
I'd written some short stories that never got published, but I'd written a lot of technical articles, mm-hmm. and I said, there's sci-fi, as a general rule, they always jump the main thing is how they get to where they're at, There's never been a great portrayal of how R&D actually works.
Yeah.
You look at Star Trek and they've got all this great technology, but you never see them actually building the stuff,
The engineer in you wanted to explain this.
Yeah.
Ah.
And so I say, we have all this wonderful science facilities, but there's never been any hint as how this stuff actually came about, or even the thinking that goes behind basic research. Basic research is really a hard sell. Now, we all like the technology we have, And one of the problems that basic research is such a hard sell is because people want to look at the bottom line and say, how's this going to help us, Well, unless somebody's doing the basic research just to find out how the world works, you may not know. And I think there's a perfect example of this is my hero was Michael Faraday, who invented or discovered magnetic induction back in the late 1700s, And he was at the
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah.
So there was a thing called the Royal Society, which are kind of gladiators for nerds back in the 18th century. And Michael Faraday, after he demonstrates this, one of the old grizzled guys comes up to him, kind of one of the haters, their job is to rip the guy apart. After he demonstrated, he says, "Well, Mr. Faraday, that's all very interesting, but what practical value is it?" And without missing a beat, Faraday said, "What practical value is a baby?" It was the perfect answer to the perfect question. And that's what basic research is. We don't know where it's going, We have to do it, because if we don't. And a good example is like alchemy. Alchemy was a lot of stuff looking to change gold things into gold and all that, which was not real practical. But if the alchemists hadn't existed, our modern chemistry would have had to go through a lot of stuff that had already been discovered by the alchemists.
Remember the Encyclopedia Britannica's? My parents, they invested in that, and I did a lot of my book reports with that.
Sure.
A little bit of plagiarism, but what the heck. But I remember going through then and on lasers. And here it shows us this laser, between two objects,
A ruby laser with the silvered ends. That's what I remember reading. Yes.
And it said there that they don't have they don't have much practical use.
Yeah.
Except for, scientific toys. Now the world doesn't can't even exist without a laser.
That's right.
In fact, they're antiques.
Yeah. Yeah.
Compact discs.
Yeah. And so just think about that and what you're looking at. You're in your storyline, you're looking at explaining from the beginning.
Right.
And now with Stonehenge, the evil Dr. Wu, where is he going to bring you? And A.M., the storyline is the moral, the emotional, the Sherlock Holmes and her. You know, and here it is. And you wrote all that.
I did.
Wow.
Okay. Well, you're
more, yes, I did.
You're more impressed with me than I am.
Well, you know, most people don't come into the studio saying, I wrote a story in 1987, and I'm putting together a movie about it. You just don't get that often. So when you do, you know, my curiosity just really comes out and been a great interview in how this happened, how it's transpired, and the direction it's going. And it's all about Fairbanks. It's all about Fairbanks.
It is.
You know, I remember 1987. What was I doing in 1987? You know, met my fifth wife at the time. No. But what the heck? So you have to reproduce 1987 to get this perfection that you have in your mind.
Well, I have perfection in my mind. I realize it's not going to quite get there, but
if it's not, it's Kevin's fault. If it is not, it's Kevin's fault. Yeah,
I have these grandiose ideas, but you know, I think if we approach it asymptotically, we can say.
How do they get in touch with you?
Area code 907-371-7120.
And your Facebook page?
That is Steel Stonehenge Film Production.
If they want to contribute to backdrops, production.
Anything.
Be, you know, try out for a character.
Right. Give me a call. And we are having a reading tomorrow. It's going to be, most of our characters are going to be there. And that's going to be out in North Pole. So if you're interested in just coming, give me a call there. We don't want everybody just, I think the weather's going to keep most of the riffraff out.
Yeah. You know, at minus 30 below, how many vehicles can make it out to North Pole? That's
it. There unless you go. Live in the North Pole, so.
Yeah, I know. So does Kevin. That's the way, you know, I like playing with that a little bit. You have a goal of 1 year to have this ready to go.
Yeah. That's just kind of, I just.
Plus or minus.
Yeah.
I understand.
I just threw a dart out there and said, well, let's just shoot for a year. If you don't shoot for something, you know, you're never going to get it.
Well, excuse me. This started in 1987, and now you've chosen 2022 as the year.
You know, give or take a decade.
Well, I'll tell you what, this COVID thing has actually had some benefits to it. But it's kind of a captive audience, you know. And
well, you know, so after this, what's next?
Well, one step at a time.
What's the sequel? No. You're in the booth here.
Oh,
what's the sequel?
Okay. I do have a sequel to it's a second sequel, which I just started. But it's
okay.
Called Vengeance is Mine.
You know, just from talking with you, there had to be something else. There had to be next. You know, you don't do something in 1987, produce it in 2020, 2021, and not have something in your mind for the next.
There's a few things rattling around.
Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. Who's the evil character?
We can't reveal that yet.
Oh, but there is.
So, of course, there has to be. Has to be. So, and Steel Stonehenge Glacier Man is the evil character. So. I figure rather than, somebody once said that the devil's most powerful weapon isn't a pitchfork, it's a roll of red tape. So, and there's a line in there where A.M. says that, and the Glacier Man has a huge roll of red tape. So.
Ah,
So bureaucracy is the ultimate evil.
Get Paul Stitt with the production here. He's an ad rep, and he's been here for 30 years, and he could play that to the period.
Great.
If he comes in here and starts beating me up, we know he's listening.
Good.
We got about a minute left. Eric, how do you want to end this, sir?
Well, I just want to thank this community for just existing in the first place, and for everybody who's come forward. It's just been amazing, the people that unexpected sources of people who just want to be part of this, you know, and we want this to be your movie, not my movie, you know. So this is a movie born and bred in Fairbanks and hopefully gives a realistic view of Alaska and Fairbanks and have a whole lot of fun in the process. You know, I think it's going to be very original. I mean, so what can I say?
Kevin, real quick.
My job is just to convert his neurons into electrons, pretty much capture what he's got in his head and put it in some format that other people can see.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for the interview with Fairbanks. I will see you on Monday. You have a great weekend.